Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Coming. Can you feel it? January 10th through the 14th. The United Soccer Coaches Convention is coming to Anaheim. This year there'll be Leonard Griffin from Cal Berkeley Men's Soccer. You'll have Carla Thompson from San Diego Wave FC. Randy Waldrum, head coach of the Pitt Women's Soccer Team and also the Nigerian Women National Team. You'll be able to see sessions out on the field. You'll be able to see lecturers. You'll be able to go into the exhibit hall and visit people that, frankly, it's the business of soccer right there in the exhibit hall. And then we will be there at our Inside College Soccer booth. Come by and see us. Right now, if you register up until the 13th of December, you can get a special price of $425 if you use the code ICS24. That's Inside College Soccer. We'll see you there.
Hello and welcome to Inside College Soccer Podcast with Sports Recruiting USA. Today we're joined by Michael Balogun. Thank you for joining us. So what I want to do, I'll call you Balo, but what I want to do is just talk about your journey. So Michael Balogun is a national championship champion. He won the NCAA championship with University of Akron in Ohio in 2010. So, you know, in rarefied air in doing that, we don't have many players that can say they've done that. You know, the amount of players that play every year and, you know, come and go throughout college, we don't have many players that win a national championship. So, you know, we want to delve into what that was like for you and, you know, what that whole experience was like, because again, I'm not going to win a national championship as a player, and there's going to be a lot of players that are unfortunately not going to be able to. And so we want to see how that was. So, yeah, Balo, if you want to just give us a little bit about your background. Obviously, you played at University of Akron, and then what did you do from there?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been a long time. We haven't seen each other in a very long time. It was really nice to see you yesterday and kind of, you know, be able to do this and get on and share, you know, what the journey's been like for me, what that college experience, especially that year, was like for me. So, it's been great. Like you said, I was at the University of Akron, finished there. Great time there. Phenomenal program. It's still doing well.
Unbelievable program.
Exactly. And, you know, after Akron, went straight into coaching. The opportunities to play at the professional level didn't come like I thought they would.
Okay.
Which, you know, had to deal with and kind of come to terms with.
Yep.
At one point, but then went straight into coaching. I always knew I wanted to stay in the game. I was fortunate enough to have a really good friend who told me whenever you're done playing, whether it's after college, whether it's if you go professionally, whenever you're done playing, you should consider, you know, doing coaching, just because, you know, you've got some natural abilities. As far as when I was a player, I was very vocal. I was always talking on the field. So you've got some, you know, you do some things naturally that would translate well to, you know, the coaching side. So it was really nice that, you know, you saw that in me, was able to kind of plant that seed. So, you know, went straight into coaching. Coached at different, you know, levels in different places, in Houston on the youth side. And, you know, from as young as the U8s to, you know, working sort of a U23. It's now USL2, but at the time it was PDL.
Yep.
Working in the college game on the women's side at different places. So just really trying to stay as close to the game as possible.
Yeah.
Try to give back as much as I can. It's been a fun journey. It's been a really good, what is this, 2023 now?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. We're 13 days in, but I've got to remind myself we're in a new year.
Yep.
But it's been 13 years since 2010.
Yeah.
Like you're saying. But it feels like it was all yesterday in some ways.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll jog your memory when you're talking to us about this. So, you know, you were at Akron 2010. You were essentially what would be called an upperclassman because you were, a junior by age. So Akron the year before had gone to the Final Four. So tell us about how you've arrived on campus. Tell us what the feel was in the team. You know, were they excited for the new year? They're like, look, we made the Final Four last year. We're going to make the final this year. We're going to win it this year. Or, you know, I think if I remember rightly, they had some players that came back. I think maybe Adana and Nagby could have probably gone pro. And he chose to stay. And I think they had a few players that chose to stay that year, if I remember rightly. I was living in the area. Played PDL, which is now USL 2. Played with you boys during, you know, those two seasons. So, how it ended for them last year, and then they've come into the new season, and now you're there. What was the feel with the team and the coaches and yourself? How was that?
Yeah, and I think the one thing that really sticks out with about my time there was the culture within the team.
The culture.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was ran very much like a professional environment.
Yeah.
The players that were recruited, obviously, a majority had professional aspirations. So the level of commitment that we were willing to give or we gave to everything, was just different than other places. Obviously, I have friends that played other programs, and just knowing that the experience and what we were willing to sacrifice, what we were willing to do compared to them, was slightly different. And that was the first part. The second part is just the staff.
Yeah.
Phenomenal staff. Obviously, Caleb Porter, who's gone on to win, I think, 2 MLS Cups, Portland and Columbus. Jared Embick, who took over for Caleb at Akron, has been to, I think, 3 Final Four since then. So
he's had a great run as well.
Exactly. So we had a phenomenal staff at Akron at the time. So just having that, the culture, phenomenal players, a staff, there wasn't really a hangover from the last year.
Yeah.
If anything, there was a drive to, we don't want to feel that pain again.
Okay.
And a lot of people say that, but I could sense it right away. I'll share a funny story once I'm done with this tangent. But I could sense it right away, to get to the Final Four, to not lose again in 2009. Get to the Final Four, get to the final, and lose on PK was really difficult. But at the same time, everyone was like, no, that's not how that should have ended. We're going to make sure it doesn't end that way the next year. And again, going back to just the commitment and the culture within the group, the staff was really intentional about what players they brought in as well to try to help, fill the gaps of players that are leaving, but also make sure to kind of push over the line. When I came in, it was myself, Perry Kitchen. We brought in Darren Maddox, who scored goals. Just
some names you're dropping there.
For fun.
Yeah, Jamaican national team.
Exactly. So you have just players coming in. It's like, oh, wow, like this is for real. So, again, there wasn't really a big hangover. It was more a determination to make sure we make the team made up for sort of the disappointment of losing on a penalty kick or in penalty kicks in 2009. Yeah.
So who were some of the players on that team? Because, again, that period for Akron was, I was lucky enough to just be in that area at the time. Some of the players that you had that are still in MLS now. Who were some of the names on that roster?
Yeah, so, and everything runs together now. There was a ton of just absolute quality players just in that, on that 2019. You think about Darren Maddox, we just talked about him. Michael Nanchoff, who's an assistant now at Akron, played in MLS,
right.
I believe had a short stint in the USL and then jumped into coaching. Nagy, Nags, Anthony Ampai, who played in the MLS and then went over to Thailand and had a phenomenal career there. Yeah. Perry Kitchen, talked about him, obviously just retired, but you know, phenomenal player, absolute engine, workhorse of a human being. You know, Chris Korb, another MLS professional. Zarek Valentin, Chad Barson, Kofi Sarkodie, like
just names, right?
Like, every single person I just named on that starting 11, because that was our starting 11, Davis Mavis and Goal, all played professionally. Yeah. There's not one person I just named, Scotty Caldwell. There's not one person.
Revolution, right?
Exactly. Now he's at Salt Lake City, I believe. Yeah. There's not one person I just, you know, named from that starting lineup that didn't play professionally. Yeah. So just think about that, and again, going back to the culture and just the quality that we had. It's just, I feel like it says a lot. So, yeah, it makes me smile and blush a little bit just to think about, you know, that group and the quality of the players in the group.
So, again, you talked about the culture a little bit. Let's talk about the, you know, the actual soccer. So, August, you know, you're in pre-season. You said it's basically like a pro club, the way that the you know, is set up, the culture. So what were the games like? You know, beginning of the season, you have some pre-season games. How was the month of August?
So I think even before we got into pre-season, again, going back to the commitment and the desire not to feel the way, you know, the group felt in 2009, you know, before we got into pre-season, obviously, I feel like there's a lot of places that do this, but captains for practice. But there was almost an expectation. It wasn't a rule. It wasn't, nobody was being forced, but it was an unwritten expectation that everyone needed to be there from captain's practice. And if anything, the captain's practice were incredibly competitive, probably more competitive than when we started with the coaches.
Wow.
But it was just, one, again, culture, good leadership.
Yeah.
We had some phenomenal captains that, hey, this is what this is about. So whether it's a young player coming in, whether it's someone like myself that's, you know, transferring in, you know, when you have that and you have good leadership, a good culture, it's like, oh, I don't want to be the one that's messing this up.
Yeah.
The standards are set. So, you know, that was before preseason started. We jump into the preseason with the coaches. And again, I'm talking about just how it's very similar to a professional environment, just the structure of it from the staff. Mikhail Port, again, goes on to work in Portland, Columbus. The structure of preseason was set up to help us maximize our time on the field, but also maximize, you know, that a short preseason window.
Right.
So, you know, very deliberate in how the planning process is, the games they chose to play. You know, a lot of teams will just kind of, there's different ways to, you know, skin a cat.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll pack kind of preseason with games. If I remember correctly, you know, it was very, okay, we want to get some training in. Yes, games are important, but we want to get some training in. And we'll play games, but
right,
we want to make sure we hone, where we fine-tune some things. We train, and then we'll play games. You know, really see, okay, where do we need to make tweaks? Where do we make adjustments? Again, just that part was really sticks out to me, you know, about sort of the preseason period and sort of the August period that you're talking about.
Yeah. So you've got a good captain's practice in, captain's practices, I should say. It's not one practice, it's multiple. Then you're with the staff, you know, for the second, you know, part of August. So you're moving to September. Now it's, all right, now we're playing. This is what I'm here for. How was that?
It was good. The one thing that, you know, again, because we were in the MAC at the time, and, you know, this is no disrespect to the teams in the MAC, we were a very strong team. Again, I just listed the starting of, you know, 11, where every single player was a pro. We're stronger than a good number of teams in the MAC, so we needed to make sure, one, for RPR reasons, if, you know, once you get an at-large bid and all that, you know, the staff was very deliberate about making sure our preseason games are, you know, regular season games are very competitive. So, you know, a lot of things we did was we played ACC teams,
yeah.
Big Ten teams. Mm. So I don't remember our schedules specifically for the month of September, but it was a lot of finding some Power Five oppositions to make sure, okay, we are ready for that deep run we want to make and expect to make later on in the season. So that was probably the majority of September was, okay, we need to make sure we're competing, we're testing ourselves.
Okay.
Yes, conference is really important. We always, we joke about being Mac Daddies and being sort of the top team in the Mac.
Yeah, you were definitely at the time.
But we wanted to make sure when we got an at-large bid, and in order to do that, we needed to play Power Five teams and really boost our RPI. So
that was
the bulk of September.
Yeah.
Getting those games in.
Okay, so you're moving to October. You're now in conference. I think it got a little bit more competitive in the latter years. If you're talking, sort of mid 2000, 15-16, those sort of years, and then even more recently. But at the time, again, Akron was, a absolute powerhouse. Especially when you're talking about those at 2009, 10, 11.
Yeah.
They were powerhouses. You're playing top teams in the country. You're beating them. Get the RPI up. How was October with conference? Was that just, we need to make sure we take care of business here?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, the conference has changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Western Michigan, very strong team. Funny enough, Akron is actually, I believe, they're not in the MAC anymore.
Right.
So, but before they left, it was Western Michigan became really, really strong. NIU, another really strong team.
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, exactly. SIUE when they came into the conference. So over the years, you've gotten some really, really strong teams to make the MAC a much stronger conference. At the time, once we went into the MAC, because again, we were sort of the favorites within the conference. A lot of opposition was set up to just one disrupt what we wanted to do.
Okay.
We had a specific style of play, a specific way we wanted to play. So a lot of it was, a lot of teams were set out to disrupt that, number one, and that's either with sort of the physicality of their play or just sort of how defensive-minded they played the game.
Okay.
Just trying to keep us, limit our chances, and then hopefully try to catch us on a counter and nick one. So it was sort of a different challenge.
Okay.
It was nice to get those very competitive games early on in the season against sort of the Power Fives. But once we went to conference, the style that we faced was different.
Yeah.
But our staff, it wasn't a big deal to our staff because, one, they trusted in their ability to prepare us, and they trusted in our ability as players to say, okay, yes, we can play an open style game, a free flowing game with a Wake Forest, but also play against and be able to break down a low block Bowling Green type team. So that really was one of the things that sticks out in my mind, was just how defensive minded some of the teams that we played in conference were at the time, and then how physically they wanted to make the game to disrupt just our free flowing possession oriented style.
So for any recruits that are listening or that are going to listen to this who have aspirations of playing in college, end of October, right? So you've gone through your conference schedule, you're starting to get ready for conference tournament, and obviously for you guys, NCAA tournament, that's what you've got your eyes on. How are you feeling? How's the team feeling? How are your bodies feeling? Is there injuries? Mentally, how are you feeling? Have you still got the same desire as you did in August? What's the mindset at that time?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that piece up, because at the end of October, I think it was end of October, some point in October, we lost to Cleveland State. It was our only loss in 2010. We lost 2-1, I believe. And I remember us driving back, dead silent, on the bus. in some ways almost in shock and disbelief that we lost to Cleveland State. Not so much because it's Cleveland State, and Cleveland State is great. Stanisha's doing a phenomenal job at Cleveland State.
Yeah, he really is, yeah.
It was more so like we didn't play to our standard. We didn't play, like we didn't meet our expectations. So it was a disappointment of, what was that? That's not Akron. That was what caused us. It was like, you know, there are times where, you know, during my time there, we would win a game, you know, 2-0, 3-0, but we'd be more upset than if we tied a game 1-1.
Yeah.
So there was an element of, it's not just about winning, it's about how we want to win. And that was something that Caleb always preached to us. So, you know, end of October, we lose to Cleveland State, it's dead silent. We, you know, get back to campus and we hold a players only meeting.
Yeah.
And we hashed it out. It's like, if that's the level, if that's the standard we're going to play at, we're not going to be able to rewrite 2009.
Yeah.
Obviously, that meeting was led by players that, you know, leadership, players in leadership position, but also players that were on the team in 2009 that experienced that heartache, that pain.
Yeah.
For me, that meeting was sort of like the reset that we needed for the push to finish out the season. There were some tough games towards at the end of the year that meeting was crucial in helping us be able to get, you know, really be successful. But to talk about sort of the mental side of it and just how the bodies were, you're tired.
Yeah.
Because the way the college game is set up, you're playing two games every week.
Yep.
I believe in the MAC at the time it was Wednesday, Sunday.
Okay.
Something like that. So, you know, your body's fatigued. But again, a lot of credit to our staff. One, the roster they were able to put together. So early in the season, there was quite a bit of rotation. As we got closer to the end of the season into the, you know, conference tournament, you think about basketball, you have your maybe 10-man rotation.
Yeah.
You get into the playoffs, it, you know, kind of goes into like a 7-8-man rotation.
Right.
You're using less players, but the fact that you're able to use more players early in the season,
yeah,
as you get towards the end of the season, you know, the players that you're going to lean on heavily, you don't have to lean on them as much, or they're a bit fresher.
Okay.
You know, 20 that year, Kofi Sarkodie, who is our starting right back, goes down hurt. You know, I've played right back. I'm probably more of a holding mid, a midfielder, but you know, I have experience, you know, the national team on at right back, so I was able to slide in at right back.
Yeah.
While Kofi was out,
and, okay,
you know, kind of, you know, at least at minimum keep the level.
Yeah.
So that way, you know, I'm actually lying. I didn't keep the level. Kofi's a far better right back than I ever was, but the level didn't drop significantly.
Yeah.
So when you have a roster that's that deep and that has that much quality, Ben Spies, Eric Stevenson, Martin Ontivero, is like just the names that are coming off the bench. Like it's unbelievable to think about. So, you know, when you're in late October, early November, you know, there's players are going to be, there's going to be nicks and knocks, but because, you know, the coaches were able to really manage early on and really use the roster, you're able to kind of push through a difficult part of the season.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I was talking about this on an earlier podcast. November is a time that not many players get to experience really playing, right? So, you know, you're in the conference and then you're making the NCAAs. What was that month of November like, where it's win or go home, you know, especially when you get into NCAA tournament, obviously. It's a win or go home situation. So what was November like for you, for the team, and how did you guys overcome the hurdles that seem to come every week?
Yeah, I think I believe it's still the case at the University of Akron. You have regular season and the, you know, November postseason. It tells you right there, they're two separate seasons.
Yeah.
And that's how it was approached.
Right.
But, you know, especially, you have this just, I don't say stupid, but very unique chant where it's like tourney time. And it just, as soon as, you know, the conference tournament, NCAA comes around, and you would just hear, you know, players on time, you know, walk into the locker room or walk into the building and you just hear tourney time, and just as a way to, it's almost like a trigger for everyone to say, hey, this is, you know, what we did, you know, 2 weeks ago doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Like we're in a different phase of, like, we, this is different. And the level of concentration, the level of intensity, the level of, you know, commitment is needs to be increased, because if we're going to reach our ultimate goal at the end of the year.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you guys obviously were successful. You got all the way to the final. You won it. What was that final four like? What was that, you know, that situation where, you know, you're on the plane? If I remember rightly, you had to go to California.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
So you've had to fly, you know, 5-hour flight, Akron to Santa Barbara. You've got to take that flight. You know, I'm sure there was excitement, nervousness. Yeah, it's a business trip. So what was that situation like for you guys?
Yeah, there was so many players on the team that were experienced with being in the Final Four the previous year in 2009. It was in Cary, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So there are so many players on the team that were experienced with being in those big moments, knew what to expect.
Right.
So, again, it eases the nerves a little bit. For a few people. But I also think, even though we had the number one seed, we still had a tough route to the Final Four. We played Indiana. Can't remember who we played after Indiana. This is bad. If you were on that team we played after Indiana, I'm so sorry.
You are, you're fine.
Then we played Cal.
Okay.
And that was probably the most exciting college game I ever played in.
Yeah.
I believe it was sunny, it rained, it snowed.
No way.
All in that game. And I lived in California prior to moving to Akron, so all the players on Cal I knew.
Okay.
They also had a phenomenal group. Hector Jimenez, who's at Austin FC, Cervantes Carrasco, who played in MLS for years, Demetrius Humphries, AJ Soros,
wow.
David Bingham, goalkeeper. I can't remember where David is now, but again, another team that was stacked and had players in their group that went on and played professionally.
Yeah.
So, you know, to play a team that competitive, it also was an interesting one because we, you know, Akron at the time never really went out west, so they were almost like an unknown.
Okay.
So it created, you know, there was some challenges with, okay, what are we going to see? What should we expect in this game? But again, to play that competition, to, you know, to have to grind, beat them in penalties,
yeah,
it really prepared us for the Final Four, and, you know, to play against Michigan, who, you know, credit to them, we played them early in the year, and it was, you know, a lopsided score, but a, you know, drastically different team we faced in the Final Four. So the sense was, we're ready for this.
Yeah.
We knew we were playing Michigan, obviously played them early in the year, we're, you know, having confidence from that game.
Yeah.
You know, we had played some very, very tough teams. Again, credit to the staff and the really tough games we've played over the course of the season.
Yeah.
So coming into the Final Four, it's like, okay, we've played these tough teams before. So, you know, if we're ourselves, if we play the way, you know, if we stick to our DNA, our identity, we'll be in a good spot. So it, you know, there was some nerves, but again, the fact that so many players had been there before,
yeah,
the fact that we had been prepared by the staff, you know, we felt very comfortable and confident going into the Final Four.
Yeah. Okay. So you you win your first game, which was against Michigan, and then who do you face in the final?
Louisville.
So you face Louisville in the final. Talk to us about that final. You know, from the morning to, you know, when you was able to lift that trophy. What was that like?
I have no idea what I did that morning. Actually,
yeah.
Team walk. We always did
okay.
a team walk before, you know, on game days. Obviously, team meals. You know, just the normal game day preparation. My roommate was Matt DeGillis.
Okay.
Shout out to Matt.
Yeah.
So just a normal watching TV, relaxing. You know, team walk, meals. Really trying to mentally, you know, visualize and prepare for the game. You know, go to the stadium, you know, that, you know, very confident, very calm. And again, I can't credit them enough. Just, you know, even if they felt and there's part maybe a bit of nervous or anxiousness from the staff, we never really saw it.
Yeah.
Or they did a really good job of trying to like hide it or, you know, keep it away from us, which I think the one thing, at least I believe, is, you know, players can sense that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there are times where it's good to be honest.
Yeah.
With players, whether you know you're feeling anxious or whether you're, you know, you feel confident. There are times where you know, you have to, you know, they have to believe that you believe.
Yeah.
They have to believe that, you know, you. If they sense that you're confident, they'll be confident. If they sense that, especially in those big moments, they sense that you've got a bit of, or you have some nerves.
Yeah.
You know, that can be transferred over to them. So, I thought they were really good about, you know, hey, we prepared for this. You know, we're ready for this. You know, this is, I don't say just another game, but this is another. It was more so not just this is just another game, but this is another opportunity to show what Akron soccer is about.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought that was really, you know, a great job that they did. But and it really was just, you know, sort of a back and forth. Louisville had a really, really good team. Ken Lola, the coach at the time, you know, did a really good job preparing his group. Funny, interesting enough, Ken Lola was at the University of Akron and then went to Louisville.
Yeah.
So he was very familiar with Akron. You know, he went there before. He was there before Caleb took over at Akron.
Yeah.
But phenomenal team. Kenny Walker. Oh, my God. Why is Kenny the only player I'm thinking of on their team? Oh, God. Aiden, Dylan Maris. Like, really good team.
Yeah, to get that far, you have to be great,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. But just really good players as well.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, kind of a back and forth game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wanted to dominate, wanted to have the ball. But when we did a little bit, but they were, you know, they also had, they're a good team. They had opportunities. They had the ball a little bit. And ultimately, it just came down to a set piece moment. You know, Scotty Caldwell picking up a second ball. And,
yep.
You know, left footed. Funny enough, Scotty is known for, you know, being absolutely clutch in postseason.
Yeah.
That's one thing he is known for. But left with a shot, goes in the back of the net. He's like, oh, wow. And I think that was like early on. Oof, everything's a blur. I'm pretty sure that was early on in the second half. So now it's okay, can we weather the storm?
Yep.
There are some chances late in that game. I believe Mavis makes like a kick save or something. One goes off the post. But as the game went on, because you know you're trying to hold on, you know, which is kind of opposite of what we want to do. We're typically trying to see out games with possession, but again, you're facing a good team, so it's going to change a little bit. But you know, you're trying to see out the game. They're getting chances. Like you said, you know, we managed to hold on, get the 1-0 win, and you know, just it was a sense of relief, and also a sense of absolute joy.
Yeah.
One, relief that, you know, the work that's been put in, you know, we're reaping the benefits of it. Two, a joy for the fact that we're national championships, so first national championship to come to the University of Akron.
Yeah.
First national championship to come back to the, you know, the greater or the Northeast Ohio region.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a great feat, right?
Exactly. So there was just a lot of things that I was like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So it was just a sense of joy that came with that moment, which was really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you like I said earlier, you know, we went to a Final Four, and you know, we were talking off of this where you had said that, you know, the way that they felt from before you were there was we shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
You know, we probably should have gone all the way. So this was a year where, all right, we're taking care of business. And like you said, I think University of Akron's first national championship, you were part of that. So, yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, I'd say parting words for you, having, again, been in rarefied air, being able to win a national championship. Again, not many people get to do that. So for you, what would you say to recruits, players in college, and you've even been on the coaching side for a long time, so even coaches, what's a message that you'd have that could kind of encompass all that you learned on that run as you look back, 12, 13 years ago now, as you look back, what's something that you could kind of bottle up and say to players that are in college and that are wanting to attend college, and coaches out there as well?
Yeah, and I was extremely fortunate to play a small part in just the program that is University of Akron men's soccer.
Yeah.
So it was almost for me, it was being in the right place at the right time. In some ways, they've been close since then.
But, yeah.
Obviously, having had the fortune of that bit of luck to get another one, but really to players, recruits, it's really just that's a nice thing to be able to say. I'm a national champion, but it's the day-to-day, the memories, the players, the process that I truly enjoy, and I think back and I remember. I joke about this. I don't know where my national championship ring is.
No.
I don't. But you know what I do know is I still have everyone's number in my phone.
Yeah.
So it's those relationships. It's,
yes.
It's that day-to-day, the process, I still keep in touch with the coaching staff, so it's that part is what's really, really important. Not like you said, not everyone is gonna win a national championship, but everyone can have a great experience.
Yeah.
Everyone can form lasting relationships with their teammates, their coaches. So I for any recruits, yes, that's it'll be nice to go somewhere and be able to accomplish something like that, even if it's not a national championship, a conference championship. But at the end of the day, you've got 4 years.
Yep.
If that doesn't happen in 4 years, what are you able to say, I got something else out of this?
Yeah.
My advice would be let that, the priority be the experience, the relationships. And then if you're just happen to be fortunate enough to win a championship, then that's just sort of the cherry on top.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, Michael Balogun, for joining us again. Michael Balogun won a national championship with University of Akron in 2010. So we wanted to understand what that whole process was like. He obviously was lucky enough to be part of a great squad. He was very important in that squad as well. And so it's great to have Michael Balogun with us, and thanks again, and good luck to you in the future.
Yeah, thank you. Really great to be here. You guys are doing great work. Continue to crush it. It's obviously great to see you again. It's been way too long. Hopefully it's not another 10 years before I see you again.
No, I'm sure it won't be. Thank you, Michael.
Likewise.